AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
No matter what new rental laws the government introduces, private landlords continue to sell up in droves. The latest figures from Sheriff Fitzgerald show that for every three landlords who sell, only one new landlord is entering the market. I'm joined now by a private landlord, Michael Houghton. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you getting on?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, you have been a private landlord for how long, and how and why did you get into the market?
Yeah, for about 5 years, somewhat accidentally, we went to sell our current home. We wanted to move during COVID, and rather than selling, we ended up buying a new home and keeping our old house, which eventually became a rented property.
Okay, now you have written recently about the kind of quiet guilt you felt about being a landlord. Explain.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's one of those things where if a conversation comes up within friends or within people that you know, it's almost, you don't want to actually tell people that you're a landlord. There's a negative connotation and association with being a landlord in Ireland. I think there's a perception that every landlord is ripping tenants off and making big money. And it's certainly not the case. Whilst there is bad landlords, as there are in every country, many of us are just normal people who may have become accidental landlords to a degree, or like myself, initially became an accidental landlord, realized that I actually enjoy being a landlord and have bought more investment property over the last couple of years. So it comes from that. There's obviously that guilt. There's also the guilt that it's a struggling housing. It's hard to get on the housing market, and we're fortunate enough to be in a position to own multiple properties. So there's a guilt that comes with that as well, that whilst people are struggling, we're able to buy and afford multiple properties, and the guilt that comes with that.
Now, your model, because you have a particular model of buying, investing, because it's not that you have stashes of cash. You didn't win the lottery, I presume. So you're actually borrowing money to buy and treating it as a commercial investment.
Exactly. Or like a small business. Our tenants are ultimately customers, and our job is to try and keep them happy. We kind of have a saying that we want to provide rental accommodation that we would be happy to live in ourselves. But of course, we utilize mortgages through banks and put together deposits where we can, and treat it very much as a small business to try and make it work for us and for the tenant.
Now, the question of supply and demand, I mean, clearly your properties would be hugely in demand. How do you decide who's going to be a good tenant? Because, you know, if you're going to do it by the book, provide, proper accommodation and maintain it and so on, you want to make sure that the tenant has a respect for the property they occupy.
Yeah, it can be really, really difficult. And it's really hard, to be honest. You might go to, if you have to go to the open market, if you put a listing, say, on Daft, you might get 200 or 300 people contact you within the space of a week. So there's actually guilt that comes with selecting somebody as well. I had a situation where somebody had come in from Italy the week before. They'd moved to Limerick. They were happy to pay 6 months rent up front. I met with them, and they were the first person I met with, and they said straight away, look, we want to take this. And I kind of had to say, look, there's a process that we need to go through when selecting a tenant. So we ended up selecting a different family, somebody that had been living in student accommodation as a couple for 4 years, that were able to finally get their own home. So it is really, really difficult. There's a balance between somebody making sure that somebody has the income and jobs to afford the property, but then obviously the human element that comes with it, that there's a lot of desperation out there as well. So it is really, really difficult. What I would say, if you are looking for a property, being able to reply quickly when listings come up and providing references where you can and proof of income is always hugely helpful.
Now, the question of the financial model, I mean, you have to pay tax on it, you have to insure the property, there is a property tax that's payable as well. So how does it work out in terms of, you have a mortgage You obviously got some cash for a deposit, but you still have to pay off the mortgage over a period of time. I presume as a commercial landlord, you want to pay that mortgage off not in 30, 35 years. You'd rather do it rather more quickly than that.
Yeah, well, the banks themselves will only give you typically a 20 to 25 year mortgage, depending on your age. And the interest rates are a lot higher. This is a certain misconception as well. The interest rates on a buy-to-let mortgage are much higher than what you'd pay for a conventional mortgage on your primary home, often twice as high. So to be honest, by the time that you've paid tax, you've paid maintenance, you've paid the mortgage down, you might be lucky to break even. And this is, again, one of those misconceptions where, you know, people hear that you own multiple rental and properties and they think, oh my goodness, you must be making masses of cash every month or whatever. And the reality is definitely not by the time, you know, keep in mind that for most of us who are doing this as private landlords, that income is coming in on top of any earned income from a job. So the income is typically taxed at 50%. So there's very little left by the time that everything is accounted for. In many cases, we're setting rent based on trying to break even, ultimately, on the cash flow point of view. Obviously, in the long run, the mortgage is being paid down. There's some appreciation each year on the value of the property. So it definitely is good long term, but it's definitely not one of these investments where you're going to be. It's not like a Scrooge McDuck situation where you're swimming in money at the end of each month. It certainly isn't that. In fact, my accountant every year says to me, what are you doing? Why aren't you selling these properties? Because from an accounting point of view, it doesn't always make sense. But certainly from my side, I'm 41 years of age. I see it as a long-term investment, a 10 to 20 year investment. In the long run, it will definitely pay dividends. But certainly day to day, you don't always see that.
Well, presumably at the end of the 20-year period when you've paid off the mortgage, there will be some capital appreciation in the value of the house, but that might only be keeping pace with inflation. In other words, the price of a pint now versus the price of a pint in 20 years' time, it probably does reflect the economy of the time. So, you know, what you can get for the value of the house might not be very different than what you paid for it, but at least it's been paid off. So you have a big lump of cash for your pension.
Correct. But you're also getting the leverage, and this is where the leverage comes in. So at the moment, you might only put down, when you first buy the property, you might only be putting down a 30% deposit. But obviously, you're getting the full advantage of that house going up over time. So whilst the house may only increase with inflation, because of the leverage effect, you're actually getting more than that on your initial deposit.
Okay, so if you pay only a third of the house price and the inflation goes up by, say, or 4%, which is mirrored by the price of the house, but you actually get three times that because you've only invested a third.
Exactly. So you understand it well, Pat.
Now, when you're charging a couple of grand a month or whatever it might be for a particular house, does that not, you know, when you see how people are struggling to pay that rent, does that contribute towards your former sense of guilt?
It does to a degree. It certainly does to a degree. And there's a massive element of that. Now, we make sure that when we rent a property that we're not trying to charge exorbitant rents. We try and typically charge below market rents. And we try to rent to people that we know are on big incomes. And I think this is one of the misconceptions of the economy is that we hear a lot in the media about families struggling. But for every family that's struggling, there's a family doing exceptionally well out in the economy. You know, there's a lot of high-paying jobs in Ireland at the moment. And I certainly see that when we go. In fact, most of my tenants, believe it or not, actually earn more money than I do, which is one of these strange kind of ironic situations.
But meantime, your capital is mounting up not quite nicely in the background.
Capital is mounting up. And look, the thing with renting is, and it's one of these things, a lot of people will say it's dead money. But the beautiful thing about renting is you know exactly what the most you're going to pay each month is, which is the rent. You don't have to worry about when the boiler breaks down or when the house needs to be painted or maintenance. None of that happens. Whereas when you're a homeowner, the mortgage is the minimum that you're going to pay each month. In fact, often the maintenance is a lot more than the mortgage, and it's a hidden cost that doesn't always get accounted for.
I'll read some of the text coming in. I certainly ended up feeling bad about being a private landlord. So what did I do? Well, I changed to being an Airbnb landlord. Now this is being closed to me too. So what will I do? I'll sell up and invest in something else. Overall result, less properties to rent and fewer Airbnbs for tourists. Another one from Liz says the new regulations are tantamount to theft. Landlords are being punished for government's failings. This one, the state doesn't recognise renting property as a business, so it taxes rent at multiples of trading income, hence there is no supply. Airbnb or iPass pay 12.5%, but renting over the shop pays 40%. It's the Department of Finance who should be embarrassed at their own greed. The RTB system is unfair. If inflation is 3% or over, you can only increase your rent by 2%. But if inflation is 1%, you can only increase your rent by 1%. A rent freeze is a good thing, but it has a huge flaw. It traps decent landlords if they didn't increase rents at way below market rent. And they're stuck at that low rate. However, now that landlords are running scared and selling up, now is the time perhaps to get into it. That's from Sean in Dublin saying there might be bargains in rental properties right now, but you'll be competing with the purchasing market too, I suppose. Anyway, Michael, you are staying in the market in spite of any new government regulation that might keep your tenants there for life, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I mean, there's always going to be changes to government policy. And for me, nothing fundamentally changes. I'm still looking to match a good tenant to a good property and have that tenant there long term if they want. But equally, like I'm always quite lenient with tenants. I'd like to say to them, if you want to buy the property from me, eventually you can. But try to have them in a position where they can eventually save up to buy their own accommodation eventually is ultimately what you're looking for. So again, it's one of those things where you just keep going, and regardless of the market, you know, as I kind of wrote in the article there, like we found a property that had a good yield that suited, that wasn't being bought by first time buyers or by people looking for their own residence. So it's about just finding the deal that works, and it's a numbers game ultimately when you're looking to get into the buy to rent game. And if the numbers suit, then the deal happens.
Michael Houghton, private landlord, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.